And we now have our gospel reading from Luke.
So reading is from Luke chapter 11, reading verses 1 to 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
And now we're just going to hear a monologue from the disciple who asked Jesus the question.
"I asked Jesus how we should pray. First of all, he gave me an example. He said, 'When you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' Then he surprised me. Without pausing for a moment, he started to tell us a story. He said, 'Just think, you're all tucked up in bed for the night. You've finally got the little one off to sleep. He's sucking his squeaky Ted's ear in his cot by your bed. And then comes an absolutely thunderous knocking at the door, and someone shouts up at your window, 'Oi, you up there? I need 3 loaves of bread. Quickly, Jim's turned up and he's absolutely famished, and there's nothing in the house to give him.' Would you say, 'Go away, you'll wake the baby. I've locked the door for the night and that's it. I'm not coming down.' I don't think so. I think that even if you didn't care about his trouble, because he was your friend, you'd jolly well get up and do as he asked, just to get rid of him. And then Jesus said, 'Prayer's a bit like that. Ask, like the man in the story. Look for help, and you'll find it. Knock at that door, and someone will come. Because if you ask, you will receive. If you look properly, you will find. And if you knock loud enough, someone will open the door.'" He paused, but he hadn't finished. There was more, an anecdote, a tease perhaps. "If your child, when he's a bit bigger, asks for fish fingers for lunch, would you fob him off with something incredible, like the mouse you caught in a trap yesterday? Or If he wanted a nice boiled egg, would you slap something dangerous and nasty down in front of him? Come on, even if you were the worst person in the world, you'd still know what's good for your own child. So, of course, your Heavenly Father knows what's good for you, because you are God's child. And the best thing of all that God can give you all is the Holy Spirit. Makes you think, doesn't it?
As Christians, prayer is an essential part of our daily lives. It's how we communicate and build our personal relationship with God. But is it all a one-way conversation? I mean, Jesus did say, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened." Now, on the face of it, this suggests that if we keep praying and asking for something, God will have to give it to us, give us what we're asking for, like the man who ended up giving his persistent neighbour loaves of bread so that he and his family could get some sleep. But Jesus goes on to say that even those who are evil know the good gifts to give their own children. They wouldn't give them something nasty and dangerous when their child asked for a fish or an egg. A prayer can be a difficult thing to understand, and everyone here will have had different experiences. Whether it be prayers that have been answered in exactly the way we were expecting, or we were asking for. Some prayers may appear to be unanswered, and you may be left wondering if God is even listening. Or prayers that have been answered in a way where God appears to be setting us on a completely different path. But one thing I am sure about is that God wants us to pray. He wants us to have an open and honest conversation. He wants us to be thankful. He wants us to be sorry. He wants us to rant and be angry. He wants us to ask questions. He wants us to ask for the things that we need, and he wants us to ask for help. God will always be there to listen and to love us even more than we can imagine a parent loving a child. So much so that we are told that God will give us the best thing of all, the Holy Spirit. God will give us the strength, the guidance, courage and power to take action to make people's lives better in whichever way we can. God is relying on us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. So is praying "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" enough? How often might we think about something, and we may pray about something, but then stop short of taking any action about the same thing? Our thoughts and prayers are really important, but it's important to act as well. And in response to our prayers, or indeed to prayerfully act. Prayer does not have to be done in a quiet room, although it can do, or on our knees with bowed heads. But prayer can be active and it can be practical. It's easy to feel overwhelmed with a seemingly never-ending list of problems and issues on both a local and global scale. God is not expecting us to solve all the world's problems on our own. But as individuals or small groups of volunteers, we can only make a small difference at best. However, we're working together as a whole community and spreading the load, we can make a bigger difference within this local area and the wider world by considering carefully what our concerns are, what we want to do, praying persistently and collectively taking action. And remember, we will not be doing this on our own. Keep praying, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and God will provide us with the gift of the Holy Spirit to support and guide us. So we're now going to use the Lord's Prayer in sections. I'm going to have a time of prayer with each section. So what I would like to do is that everybody says the part of the Lord's Prayer, then I'm just going to say a few words, then we'll have a time of silent prayer, and then we will have the response at the end before going on to the next section. And this will just incorporate our prayers of confession and intercessions. So we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus calls God Abba, Father, and encourages us to pray in the same way. We know that God is not a distant God, but is a compassionate parent who calls us into a loving relationship and invites us to share our needs for ourselves and for others. Father, we honour you as the one true God and pray that all people may come to know you and know that they are loved. In the following time of silence, pray for someone who needs to know that they are loved. It might be you or someone you know. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We say together, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus' central message is that the kingdom of God is coming in and through his work. We pray for the growth of that kingdom here on earth, for the poor to be fed, for the captive to be set free, for the sick to be healed. In the following time of silence, think of a particular country or area of the world that you wish to pray for. It may be somewhere that is often in the news, or somewhere we don't hear about. You may personally know people who live there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we say, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus encourages his followers to pray for their sustenance each day. Bread was the staple food at the time and has also become the bond between his followers through the breaking of bread, indicating God's presence in the church and our spiritual sustenance. In the following time of silence, Think of the things and people that you are thankful for in your life, and pray for your own physical and spiritual needs of today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus includes this as he expects us to get things wrong over and over again. But God is always ready to forgive us and restore us. We are also encouraged to forgive those who have done wrong to us. This can be hard, but if we hold on to bitter resentment, this can hinder the flow of grace in and through our lives. Realizing the depth of God's forgiveness of us can help us to extend such forgiveness to others. In the following time of silence, ask for God's forgiveness in those situations where perhaps you are finding it difficult to forgive someone else. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sometimes we pray, save us from the time of trial. Jesus encourages his followers to pray for deliverance in situations that are extremely difficult, asking God for protection. God is the steadfast presence which gives us grace in our time of need. We are also encouraged to make the right choices, to be a light in our world. In the following time of silence, pray for any struggles or temptations that are in your life at the moment. Know that God is present in those struggles, and God will give you the grace to survive the trials that come your way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. We are reminded that the kingdom, the power, and the glory all belong to God. God is ultimately in control, and God can be trusted. In the following time of silence, give thanks that God can bring good out of evil, hope out of adversity, and life out of death.
Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen.
How many here are keen gardeners? You don't, I can see a few hands, yes.
Sort of, yeah.
Me too. I must admit that I enjoy having a nice garden, but I am what you would probably call a reluctant gardener. Every now and again, I will go out with a clear objective to tidy up a particular part of the garden. And I probably do maybe half an hour of weeding and then declare it's time for a cup of tea. I don't need too much of an excuse to avoid it. It's either too hot or too cold or too dry or too wet. However, something I have noticed is that some plants or weeds seem to be everywhere, but they're quite easy to pull up. But then there's others that are truly rooted in the ground, and it's almost impossible to dig them up. When we first moved into our house, the garden consisted of a lawn and then surrounded by about 13 conifer trees, and that was it. And they were sucking the moisture out of the garden. So my husband, bless him, spent many hours cutting them down and then digging up the roots before we did anything else. I like to think that our garden looks much better now that we've got rid of all of those. And Paul begins today's passage in his letter to the Colossians by emphasizing the need to live our lives in Jesus, being rooted in him, so that they may grow in a strengthened faith. And this clearly reminds us all that accepting Jesus into our lives is just the beginning of our journey. Jesus should be at the heart of all we do, our roots, our foundation. So I want to draw your attention to two particular links between what Paul writes here and the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Firstly, lead us not into temptation. It's important not to give in to distractions or alternative voices that take us away from Jesus. In the Message version, verse 8 of the Colossians passage reads, "Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings." I'm sure that we can still relate to this warning today, especially with the growth of social media and the opportunity for anyone to express an opinion or make a comment, and often it seems to go unchecked. In what appears to be a growing secular world, we can often feel that these are the voices that are the loudest and distracting people away from knowing Jesus in the first place. And sometimes it's easy to be distracted away from Jesus, even within our churches. I'll just read part of that Message version again. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. Perhaps you've sat in that church council meeting. Whether outside or within our church, it is always important to keep returning to Jesus. His message, his example, his love, his salvation. Keeping him at the root of everything so that as individuals and as a church community, we may all continue to grow and strengthen in faith. The second link relates to the forgiveness of sins. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to forgive our sins. And Paul confirms that God forgave us all our sins. And through the grace of God, we too should extend that forgiveness towards others. Not because we think it's the right thing to do, or it might earn us a few extra brownie points, but because we can't help but forgive others, because we are rooted in Jesus. We are living out his message and his example. We are sharing his love, and we are working every day with the help of the Holy Spirit to bring God's kingdom here to earth as it is in heaven. Amen.